titled this sermon, "The Immoral Scruples of the Nation Have Grown to Biblical Proportions." You can always tell when I've been reading John Bunyan. My sermon titles get longer. I have a subtitle as well. It's about a paragraph long. But I will infuse that as we go along. The title of the message today, "The Immoral Scruples of the Nation Have Grown to Biblical Proportions." So on Friday of this week, let me just go ahead and jump straight to the crux of the matter. On Friday of this week, I read two bills. Both were passed in the U.S. House of Representatives. Renee will testify to you. I read every word of both bills. And, oh my goodness. It's hard to get through some of these bills. But, you know, I believe it's important that we be mindful of what's happening in our nation. And so the first bill that is of interest that I'll have less to say about today and more to say about soon is that was passed. It's House bill. You should write these bill numbers down. And my encouragement to you is go be a well-informed and responsible follower of Christ. By knowing what's happening in a legislative manner. This is different than a useless executive order. This is actually legislation that comes with it bearing law. A requirement that the law can hold the people responsible for and to. The first bill that I would just make mention of is the House Bill 4350. And that is a defense spending bill. Now, at one level, we just laugh when we hear that legislation is going to pass a bill concerning spending. This is not just empty rhetoric. It appears that our government knows nothing better than how to spend money. And probably should phrase that in the most logical way. Our government knows how to spend nothing. Because most of their spending is not upon money they currently have, but money they are going to require of your grandchildren and great-grandchildren. This, at one level, a nation can expect and appreciate that a nation would have a spending line item in its budget that would address national defense. And we can appreciate that and have love for this. But let me let you know. There's more than just the two things I'm going to show here that are hidden and tucked away inside of this bill that ought to sound every alarm inside of your God-loving heart. One of them related to your love for America and the other related to your love for God, and I will make the argument your love for God supersedes your love for America. The first one is an attack against your Second Amendment. Tucked away inside of this is your love for the Second Amendment. And there are red flag pathways for the government to confiscate weapons as they declare necessary. Now that ought to cause concern for you, whether you're just a gun-loving, American-loving individual. This would be like a one alarm going off at the firehouse. Everything else I'm going to share with you today are five alarm issues. This is certainly a concern that the government inside of a national defense bill has tucked away inside of it pieces that give the government the opportunity to grab your guns. Well, again, don't let that be the mountain you die on. Let everything else I have to say to you today cause of great concern for you. This is a moment. This is a mountain. These are not just hills. These are mountains of great concern. So apart from the red flag laws that threaten your Second Amendment, I say to you the matter of most importance tucked away inside of House Bill 4350, inside of that defense spending bill, is a requirement of women ages 18 to 28 to register for the military draft. If this By the way, this has already passed the House overwhelmingly with conservative Republicans. And by the way, your representative at the U.S. House of Representatives voted in favor of this bill. Inside of this bill is a requirement for our daughters to be required to register for the draft of the military. Now, let me just say, there is a difference between a voluntary position that a woman can serve, and arguably, historically, we need women in the military. But do we want our women on the front line? And then arguably, do we want any government demanding of our daughters to fight on the front lines of any war? Now keep in mind, we're 50 plus years beyond the last time our government enacted the draft. So already people are arguing, there's nothing to worry about here. Just like there's nothing for you to worry about the red flag laws that are inside of this bill. There's nothing for you to worry that the government one day may say to you, give us your daughters. I say to the God-fearing men of this church, there is no sound reason for you to surrender your daughters to any government ever. Now, I'll make a biblical argument for this. Otherwise, it's just resounding, clanging, cymbal rhetoric. But let us be sure of this. We are in a day where the immoral scruples of the nation have indeed grown to biblical proportions. And by biblical proportions, I mean the things we read about in Isaiah, the things we read about in the Old Testament, the things we read about in the New Testament, of biblical proportions, of such audacity of a nation to have no fear of God in such a level as to think that our daughters belong to them. Now, on one level, one can argue they have no right to our sons. But let's also make certain we understand this in every nation of any time, of any epoch of the world. It is not out of bounds for the men to defend the nation. But where is there ever a biblical call for the women to join the men on the battlefield? So if the U.S. Senate passes this, by the way, you should write that bill number down since you didn't earlier. House Bill 4350. You need to read it and you need to communicate to Representative Mike Simpson how much you dislike what he just voted for. And then it would make great sense that you contact both of your U.S. senators and inform them you do not want them voting for this kind of nonsense. If this passes the U.S. Senate, and may I follow this with, from everything I'm reading, it seems highly likely it will. I'm saying to the men of this church, you need to be prepared to act like men. Not simply as conscientious objectors, but as men of God. We must say resoundingly to the United States of America, you do not have God's authority to send our daughters to combat zones as warriors. As I indicated to you, this bill passed resoundingly without question. It didn't even need your representative's yes vote to pass. Our senators need, no doubt, to hear from you with some kind of response from you. And it needs to sound something like, to the U.S. government, you can have our daughters when hell freezes over. Now, I don't intend that to just be empty rhetoric either when I speak to you about this great concern. I use words with intention this morning to strike you, to arouse your conscience. This is not the kind of thing that you would find anywhere in a nation that fears God. This is the kind of action when the immoral scruples of a nation reach this kind of a level. Well, that's not even the thing I'm going to speak to you about today. The other bill, House Bill 3755, House Bill 3755, it passed on party lines. So, with one exception in one Democrat who voted no, all of the others in the House voted according to their party lines. All Democrats voted yes, and all Republicans voted no that were present for the roll call vote. And by the way, you should go and read who voted yes for this and who votes no for this. Now I can say, by the grace of God, none of Idaho representatives voted yes for this bill that I want to bring to your attention and ought to sound the 5-alarm signal in your heart to the kind of condition that your nation is currently in. In House Bill 3755, it is titled, you'll know pretty quickly by the title how arrogant and God-hating this bill that just passed the U.S. House is. And that is this. It is titled the Women's Health Protection Act. It is completely lacking of any fear of God. If this bill passes the Senate, and here in everything that I'm reading, it's not clear that it won't pass the Senate. So let's just at least give the benefit of the doubt. Or let's at least say at this point, if it passes, then what are the repercussions? What's the end result of this? Then if this passes the Senate, by the way, the President of the United Nations, of the United States, has already said on record with a statement, if this bill reaches his desk, he will sign it. If this bill passes the Senate, that's the only thing at this point will be the work of the Holy Spirit to stop this from passing the Senate. But if it passes, the federal government will have full jurisdiction to regulate how the intentional destruction of life takes place in the most glorious knitting factory in the universe. Men of God, the nation needs to hear from you. Many in this nation are saying, men, until you have a uterus, go ahead and sit down in the corner and stay quiet. This is not a day for weak men. This is a day for men who love God, who love their wives, who love their daughters, and who love their nation. This is a day to speak out. Don't wait 10 more years. Don't wait for the next election. This is a day to speak out. And you need to speak with great clarity, which is why I have presented here for you a resolution that I'll be asking Southern Baptists in this region to follow suit of what Southern Baptists across the nation have already done in a resolution to speak to the nation. The nation needs to hear, even from the God-fearing, God-loving, in their minds, little bitty tiny churches like you. Remember what I read from Joshua earlier? One man can cause 1,000 to flee when he stands on the Word of God. This is a day where the nation needs to hear from us. And I would say needs to hear from us again. This bill, as I've already indicated to you, it did pass, by the way. The very fact that it passed the House of Representatives ought to tell you the kind of condition that your nation is in. Lest you don't know this or have forgotten that the decision made by the U.S. Supreme Court back in 1973, what is touted as the one of the most liberating decisions of the Supreme Court in modern days was whenever the Roe v. Wade decision came down from the Supreme Court. And unfortunately, the nation has been interpreting what the Supreme Court did on that fateful day in 1973 as legislative law. That is a constitutionally ignorant people who receive a decision by the Supreme Court as law. Every professor that understands the Constitution of the United States and teaches such in government schools or private schools alike, if they're going to be intelligently accurate and they're going to have integrity to their position, they would have to tell you that the highest law of the land is not the Supreme Court. The highest law of this land is the Constitution of the United States. And then may I throw out here, because you live in the great state of Idaho, that the preamble to the Idaho Constitution actually acknowledges the Almighty God as the instigator, as the giver of your liberty. It doesn't say the U.S. Constitution gave you those liberties. Yeah, the preamble to the Idaho Constitution says God gave you these liberties. And they include life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Our senators need to hear from God-fearing people like those of you who sit in this room. Now, may I refer you to the resolution that was provided for you in print. And may I just make a journey through the text here with you. And then, so that you're aware on the front end, I am asking your consideration, not binding you, not requiring you, not forcing you. You can leave this building without signing any documents. But I am asking that you be willing to say, at least to the Southern Baptist Convention of the Utah-Idaho region, we, this people, want you to squeeze our government concerning the sanctity of life. And so there's, as is the case, so this is the technical way that these types of resolutions are made, with lots of whereases and therefores. And please don't let that be enough to say, well, I don't give myself to this kind of talk. This is too formal for me. It is pretty formal, but it is the technical and it is the proper way to do such a thing. But let's go ahead and just roll through this. There'll be several doctrinal statements that I make on the front end, and then several actions that would proceed out of the doctrinal and the biblical positions of the previous. So whereas the Word of God, and so this is easy for us, whereas the Word of God, the Holy Bible, is a lamp to our feet. Its words are sweeter than honey to our mouth. The law of God is perfect. The testimony of the Lord is sure. The fear of the Lord is clean. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous, and that this Holy Scripture, as given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. So we're saying on the front end, the Word of God stands as the bedrock for us of everything that will proceed beyond here. Number two, whereas from the moment of fertilization, all humans are created in God's image, by, through, and for Jesus, to the glory of God, and all souls belong to Him. And by the way, all of these scripture references are not just intended to be blind references. It would be my encouragement that this becomes some level of a Bible study for you, even this week, that you investigate and see what these statements are not just intellectual statements and cohesive sentences, but they are from the bedrock of the first statement, that the Word of God is indeed the inspiration of the Almighty God. Number three, that all humans display His divine worth, His power, and His attributes, and they possess equal and objective worth before God, regardless of means of conception, ethnicity, age, size, mental development, physical development, gender, or contribution to society. Here sits one of the most glaring mistakes of the modern man, that any man who thinks, first of all, that rape and incest are not horrific sins against humanity. And they are. And the law ought to hold that one who acts in such a way to the highest consequence that the law requires of them. But then secondly, that life that may be conceived in such a horrific, heinous means is not life. The issue is still at stake here for us today. It is not that we should be looking for a way to give government permission to authorize the destruction of life, but that we would acknowledge that all life, regardless of its conception, regardless of its age, regardless of its location, regardless of how man sees the value and the worth of such a life as being, we're saying because life is given by God, only God can require life. Number four, whereas God is above all rule and authority. By the way, you will probably, if you've been here with us through the book of Colossians, you're going to find the influence of the book of Colossians, the letter of Colossians, upon much of this. God, who is above all rule and authority, establishes all governing authorities as an avenging servant to punish the evildoer and commands these authorities to judge justly, which is some of what I just previously said. Number five, whereas over the past 48 years, there have been more than 60 million reported inhumane acts of induced abortions. Induced abortions is the legal way that describes the actions to intentionally stop an otherwise natural birth of fellow image of God-bearing humans, and this just in the United States. And by the way, because the only reported abortions that your nation keeps track of are what's called induced abortions, where they intentionally invade the womb and pull and rip and suck life out of that God-giving location, the womb. It doesn't include the medication abortions that the government does not require abortion clinics or pharmacies to report. So when we say 60 million, it is accurate to say more than 60 million. Number six, in agreement with our larger body of believers, whereas the Baptist Faith and Message, according to Article 15, affirms that children, from the moment of conception, are a blessing and heritage from the Lord. Let me just state here, in the argument today, the most helpful word for us to use is the word fertilization. In the day when this article was written, everyone who read the word conception knew that that meant from the moment of fertilization. So in today's argument, the better word to use is fertilization. But because this is a historic document from Article 15, it uses the older word and it comes with how everyone understood that word to mean. So it's included because it's quoted. From the moment of conception, they are a blessing and heritage from the Lord, and further affirms that Southern Baptists are mandated by Scripture to speak on behalf of the unborn and contend for the sanctity of all human life from conception to natural death. This is why I'm asking you to join me in speaking by signing your name to the document, if you would be so inclined to do so. Number seven, whereas the messengers, this just happened this past summer, in June of 2021, so the Southern Baptist Convention annual meeting affirmed and declared the document, the Southern Baptist Resolution on Abolishing Abortion. And I can get you copies of that if you're interested. We're just saying we are in agreement with that resolution that was passed by the larger body of Southern Baptists. So now then, based upon the arguments from the above, let it be resolved that we, now here will be two places for understanding. It's clear not all of you are going to be messengers to the Utah-Idaho Southern Baptist Convention. We don't have the prerogative or the privilege to send all of us to that meeting. We send messengers. What I'm asking you to do is be a co-signer of this so that when I submit this, we have this body of individuals who are submitting this. When this, and it would be our prayer that this would be received well, and it would be, and it would pass the Utah-Idaho Southern Baptist Convention, it would be at that point that this document would be saying, here's the moment in time where we said this. So we're resolved that the messengers of the Utah-Idaho Southern Baptist Convention meeting in Meridian, Idaho on October 29, 2021, we agree with God that no human institution, government, rule, or authority has permission from God to allow the intentional shedding of innocent blood, and we reject any position that challenges the holy and righteous standard of justice. Further resolved that we affirm that induced abortions of preborn children is a crime against humanity and must be punished equally under the law. And be it further resolved that as Southern Baptists, we will engage with God's help in establishing equal justice and protection for preborn children by calling upon, this will be a two-state convention, Utah and Idaho, so we will be calling upon the Utah Governor Spencer Cox, House Speaker Brad Wilson, and the rest of the Utah State House, Utah Senate President J. Stuart Adams, and the rest of the Utah Senate to pass, sign, and enforce legislation that would fully, finally, and immediately abolish the heinous act of abortion in Utah immediately, without exception or compromise. And be it further resolved that we, that as Southern Baptists, we will engage with God's help to establish equal justice and protection for preborn children by calling upon Idaho Governor Brad Little, Idaho House Speaker Scott Bedke, and the rest of the Idaho House Senate Pro Tem Chuck Winder, and the rest of the Idaho Senate to pass, sign, and enforce legislation that would fully, finally, and immediately abolish the heinous act of abortion in Idaho, immediately, without exception or compromise. And be it further resolved that as Southern Baptists, we will engage with God's help to establish equal justice and protection for preborn children by calling upon President Joe Biden, U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, and the rest of the U.S. House of Representatives, and the U.S. Senate President Pro Tem Charles Schumer, and the rest of the U.S. Senate to pass, sign, and enforce legislation that would fully, and finally, and immediately abolish the heinous act of abortion in the United States, immediately, without exception or compromise. And be it further resolved that we call upon pastors and churches to use their God-ordained gifts of preaching, teaching, and leading our communities to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind and strength, and to love our neighbor, yes, even our pre-born neighbor, as if he or she were our own life. And be it finally resolved that we stand ready to rescue those being led to the slaughter, motivated by our love for God, by means that are pleasing to Him, so help us God. There is no doubt there is a need for this nation to hear from you. We need to be willing to stand like Isaiah stood before his government in his day and warn the people who have walked away from God, they must repent and stop sinning against God. So I will say it again. The immoral scruples of the nation have grown to biblical proportions. The preacher and the church must enter that God-ordained preaching post and speak yet once again the oracles of God. Listen, O heavens, and hear, O earth. For the Lord speaks. Sons I have reared and brought up, but they have revolted against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's manger. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Alas, O sinful nation, people weighed down with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, sons who act corruptly. They have abandoned the Lord, and they have despised the Holy One of Israel, and they have turned away from Him. Oh, dear church, the first course of reaction for you today is that if you do not know this God as God, that you need to abandon all your gods in this day and pursue Yahweh, the Almighty God, who gave His only begotten Son. As whosoever should call upon His name will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from perishing. Saved from the wrath to come. Saved from certain and expected and just judgment from God. Turn today and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and be saved. Repent of your sins and come to Christ today. And then to the collective who have already, by the grace of God, eyes have been opened and ears have been unplugged and you called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. To you I say, we must speak to the nation again. And we must speak with compassion. And we must speak with clarity. And we must speak with boldness again. There is no place to look for the condition of the United States of America than to the condition of the church first. And the condition of the church, the alarm has been ringing for decades. And all we've done to fix it is put on earmuffs. The church, we must repent of our sins, turn to God. The joy of the nation weighs in the balance of a God-fearing people. May God be merciful today, and may He allow righteousness to reign yet once again from heaven. And as Isaiah would later speak of it, when the righteousness of heaven reigns upon the dry and the barren, the desolate land, what springs forth is the best news in all the universe, and that is salvation. May God revive His church today, and may God awaken the peoples of all nations with the hope of the gospel. So what say you, church? Is it time? And it is, isn't it? And by the way, the cautionary words of the government coming for your guns is the last of your words. No armor, no military force in the world can arm itself against the wrath of God. May the church of the living God rise up today. Will you join me? Will you join others? And let's let the nation hear from us.